Sky Sports Radio combined with Harness Racing New South Wales brings you On The Pace for your daily dose of news and tips.
And what a massive weekend of harness racing we've got. And to help us out this morning, Adam Hamilton, a lover of harness racing, puts when the markets go up, he's thinking about what he can do with tab.com.au. Morning to you, Adam.
I'm thinking about what time I'm flying up, and I'm back. I'm back on Sky. I'm back on the big race circuit tomorrow night.
The big TV.
Yes, yes, indeed. Looking forward to working with one of the brightest stars in media in Britt Graham. She's kicking goals everywhere, and she'll be out on the track doing the interviews, and I'll be in the statesman role, sitting there driving driving the ship out of Albion Park tomorrow night. So, but looking forward to it. You know, we know what a massive supporter of harness racing Kevin Seymour has been in Queensland for so long.
Yeah,
I reckon even he'd be a little bit a bit of a cat on a hot tin roof heading into this one. The Group One Sunshine Sprint. His latest superstar, potentially, you know, one of the best horses he's ever been involved with in Colt 31, is a raging hot favourite now. He's been $1.65 into $1.55 from barrier two. Gee, it seems pretty short. I mean, he has got the Inter-Dominion runner-up, Our Uncle Sam, in barrier four, albeit he's not as well suited in sprint races, Our Uncle Sam, as he is to the longer trips. So next week's blacks are fake, but he's drawn nicely in four. Elta Orlando's a very fast beginner in three, the former Kiwi, now with Craig Cross and Luke McCarthy, and their other runner, Cash and Flow, is a $10 shot from out there in barrier six. Just speaking to a few people, and I tend to think the same, I reckon there's a chance Cash and Flow just blitzes them for speed early and gets across from barrier six, and I'm not sure over a mile that there'd be any real value in handing up on him. So, you know, he could be some value in this race, Cash and Flow at around the $10 mark. Elta Orlando has got tremendous speed as well. You know, whether he's in front or behind the leader or where he gets to from barrier three. But of course, Grant Dixon with Colt 31 is going to be throwing everything at his horse to try and get off the gate. He's not a renowned fast beginner. He's a good beginner, and he's been getting better off the gate, but I don't see him as a blazing beginner, whereas I think Elta Orlando and to an even more extent Cash and Flow are, Andrew. So early fireworks on the cards for mine in this Sunshine Sprint.
And calling the action is Chris Barsby. Morning, Chris.
Andrew, Adam, good morning to you both. Yeah, really looking forward to the second night of the Winter Carnival and the Sunshine Sprint. It's going to be a fantastic race. You're just talking about Colt 31, Grant Dixon, coming off a huge week, and he's looking for that to continue because yesterday he brought up his 300th winner for the season, and that's the first time that he's reached the triple figures or the triple century figures. So he's hoping to cap it off with a Group 1 victory, yet to taste victory in the Sunshine Sprint. And as you said, he's got the raging hot favourite in Colt 31, who's going for six in a row.
Yeah, they're incredible stats, aren't they? 300 wins in the season, and but yet to win a Sunshine Sprint. How do you see it early? The beauty of this game is everyone has their own opinions, but I'm not sure he's got the gate speed to hold out the blitzing type beginners from out wider, Chris.
Yeah, Adam, I agree. I think early this week we spoke with Luke McCarthy on the Pace, and he sort of gave the inkling that he was leaning towards Elta Orlando. Now that he's picked off and he's gone with Cash and Flow, I think we can read something into that. And as you outlined, he's a horse with brilliant gate speed. And I think if he's any chance of winning this race with Craig Cross, I think the fact that Luke is driving Cash and Flow sees that he's got a chance of heading off Colt 31 at the start. So it's going to be interesting. And I agree with you. He's a good beginner, Colt 31, but he's not brilliant. So if a horse like Cash and Flow, who's going to have that momentum out wide, if he makes an early charge, I think he's a very good chance of heading off Colt 31.
And over the short trip, you know, if he has to spend a stack to get there and Colt 31 got to him really, really quickly, he could consider that the sprint lane is probably one of the most important sprint lanes or valuable sprint lanes in Australian harness, isn't it?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. It's fascinating because these two drivers, for mine, probably drive Albion Park or have driven Albion Park better than any other driver previously. Luke McCarthy, multiple premiership-winning driver, knows Albion Park, and I still think he rates it as his favourite track in all of Australia. And Grant Dixon, as we just outlined, his numbers are just phenomenal, and he's such a wily, wily driver. It's going to be fascinating to see how this plays out. Colt 31, he's been doing it in different styles in his most recent victories. He's been on the front end. He's been outside the leader. So he's very versatile, and we know he's got that brilliant change-up speed. He showed that when he won the Victoria Derby running down Poster Boy. So how this race unfolds, it's going to be fascinating. Interestingly, the last time this race was at Group 1 level and $100,000, it was a locally trained horse in Ava Nova. But the last couple of years, this has only been a steadily run race. Tactate last year, 53. 2 years ago, Hector JJ in 54-1. So the track record was set in this race with I'm the Mighty Quinn 2014. But I'm just not sure how this race is going to go, whether they just go 100 miles an hour from the start or there is that second quarter back off.
So who is the main threat then? If Colt 31's $1.55 in the way you're talking, Adam, which one's the main threat to beating the favourite?
Because it's a sprint race, I actually think Cash and Flow is, if he can get across.
Yep.
I think he becomes the main danger. I love Colt 31. I think the market has had a bit of an overreaction to the barrier draw.
Yeah.
Because when you look at it on face value, I think a lot of people looked at it, you know, almost without really digging into it and just saw, gee, barrier two, he's just going to lead and win from there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the case. And if you're taking $1.55...
You want it to be.
Yeah, exactly. Chris, you don't want to be on it $1.55 if he's got to sit parked.
No, exactly right. And I think, you know, in fairness, there's no value whatsoever at that current quote. And I think, like you outlined, there was that little bit of an overreaction, the fact that he came up with gate two. And that was doubled up by the fact that Major Dan was a scratching soon afterwards. It all just snowballed from there about Colt 31 being a clear choice in this race. So I think, you know, as Adam outlined, if you break it down, Cash and Flow's a very quick beginner. And our Uncle Sam, as Adam outlined as well, his credentials this season are just phenomenal. So they're the main two rivals for Colt 31. So if you're looking for a little bit of value, you could easily entertain both our Uncle Sam and Cash and Flow at their current quotes.
$5 and $10 for Cash and Flow. Just before we talk about the Oaks, Chris, you on your radio tab program through the week spoke with Kevin Seymour.
He throw a cat amongst the pigeons?
He did. Well, I didn't
North America?
Exactly. How serious is he about taking Colt 31 to North America?
He's deadly serious, guys. It threw me by surprise. I wasn't expecting that reaction. And he came straight out with it, said he's got two very good horses in Colt 31 and Famous Short, who goes around the Fleur de Lille Ladyship Stakes earlier in the program. He said they're his two best horses right now. And he's brought horses from America, raced them down under. Mr. Feelgood quickly springs to mind. But he's never sent a horse and raced a horse in North America. He's put it in writing to Grant Dixon, and he said, why don't we investigate this and really start, you know, looking at the feasibilities of taking this pair to North America. So I was sort of blown away. He's at the right age. He's at the right stage of his career. Famous Short's the same age as Colt 31. And as we know, the mares in North America, the Down Under mares, are doing such a phenomenal job. There's no reason why Famous Short could do something similar. So this was really interesting. Grant Dixon, you know, he's probably in a really, you know, big bind over this because he's got such a big stable. It's not something that you can say, let's down tools and head to North America, because there's so much that he's got to focus on here at home. So this is going to be very interesting to see how it plays out.
Probably got a bit of time up his sleeve, though, hasn't he? Gets through this carnival. I guess the big question is whether you start to think about it after this. I mean, we know the big North American races are largely coming up now, aren't they? They're sort of being run now. So that they'd be talking about going over, you know, in the earlier part of next year, wouldn't they, to settle him in and give him a good build-up over there for the races in the middle of next year.
Mm.
Yeah, you'd want to be avoiding this time of year. Well, obviously, he's not going to be ready for this time of year now, and you don't want to be getting over there in their big winter, because as we know, it's freezing. So they'd need to get it right. So it's probably this time next year that they'd want to be making waves over there.
Guys, we've got a couple of minutes here. Let's just briefly on the Oaks. I guess we've got another short prize favourite here in our Princess Tiffany, a raging favourite. How good is she?
She's outstanding. I mean, you know, Chris, she did what she had to do last week. When you speak to Mark Burden, who could only watch through one eye with the infection he's got, he's back in Christchurch. He'll be watching on TV this week rather than doing the driving himself. But she did what she had to do, and all the feel from Kylie Rasmussen and Mark is that that'll wake her up for this week.
Yeah, she's going to be a lot fitter because, keeping in mind, that was her first start since the Jules Day back on June 2. So she's going to be a lot sharper, a lot better for that run last week. It wasn't an easy run, three wide to the breeze off a second row draw, but we know with this stable, they just peak them at the right time. So she deserves to be a short quote. She could have started off the fifth line in this race and been an odds-on favourite. There's no question about that. She's going for a fourth Oaks win this season. And Kiwi fillies have a great record in the Queensland Oaks. New Zealand-bred fillies have won the past seven. The All-Stars have won two of those. And I think if you look at our Princess Tiffany compared to Fight for Glory, No Baby, the other two winners for the All-Stars, I think she's a little bit better than them. So this is her race to lose. There's no question.
Am I allowed to say I'm looking forward to this Southeast Derby more than the other two big races on the night, with Lochinvar Art finally drawing a good barrier in Barrier 3, the Victorian? Hasn't been able to win a big one, but boy, oh boy, he's run some monster races. Self-assured could be anything. Mark Purden used the term, quote, could be something special. He's unbeaten and draws the back row. And, I mean, Jesse Duke is an outstanding horse. All season in New Zealand, he's been the second-best three-year-old over there. So, and he's going to run a $5 or $6 shot in this race. This is an absolute cracker, Chris.
Yeah, I agree, Adam. I think this is the race of the night and sets up perfectly for next week's Group 1 Queensland Derby. Lochinvar Art, he's got that draw advantage over both Jesse Duke and Self Assured. So if he doesn't beat them tomorrow night, what chances has he got next week? Yes, he's going to be better next week. There's no question, Lochinvar Art, but there's nothing to say that the All-Stars runners are going to be the same. So I think it's his race to lose, Lochinvar Art, but we know with the All-Stars, as we keep saying, they produce them at the right time. So this is going to be a fascinating contest.
It will be.
They haven't lost a race that they've contested in the carnival so far.
Every time Mark opens his mouth, he says, this is another good one.
Well, they usually are. Yeah. This horse reminds me a bit of Vincent when he was starting to develop. Jeez. And I think Vincent was cut down in his prime. I think Vincent was set to become a Lazarus-like dominant horse before his injury, and this horse reminds me a lot of him at the same age. So, you want to talk about Tiger Tara, though, don't you?
Well,
Have you got time?
I've got people saying, hey, I've got to move on. Dave Carlson, you love talking harness racing. Chris, I'm going to let you go. I can't wait to watch it all unfold and listen to it tomorrow. The big feature races, race 5 at 7 o'clock, the Oaks at 7:33, and the Sunshine Sprint at 8:39. Thanks for joining us, mate.
Great stuff.
See you up there, Chris.
Chris Barsby there. And outside Albion Park, it is Tiger Tara returning.
Well, he ties into Albion Park because he's back. He's running in a 2,300-metre free-for-all. I think it's race 5 at Menangle tomorrow night. And they ummed and ahed about running in this. It is race 5 at 7:40. But they're just going to give him this run. Todd McCarthy now gets back on him because he's not driving Major Dan in Queensland.
Yep.
And he then goes up and adds a whole new dimension, the Inter-Dominion champion, to the Blacks of Fake up in Queensland next week. So this has been a magnificent Queensland carnival, and this Southeast Derby will be great, and Tiger Tara adding his flavour to it next week will be great. So.
All right, we haven't been on TV for ages. Make up, prepare yourself, and have a good night tomorrow night.
I might get some tips off Britt. She's been flying lately.
She'll look after you. Thanks, Adam.
Cheers.
Good on you. Adam Hamilton, Chris Barsby with today's edition of On The Pace.